Hi, I'm Koshin Chris Kane, abbot of the Puget Sound Zen Center on Vashon Island, Washington. We're glad to be able to bring you these podcasts. If you'd like to learn more about our Zen Center, please visit our website at pscc.org. As you can see, this is the instructions for the Tenzo, written by Master Dogen. I have to apologize here. Go ahead and turn the page to day one and day two. Hosen brought these, it's all Hosen's fault. She brought these beautiful booklets here. That I just couldn't help but use, but they're formatted for 7 days. So either we stay two extra days, Westlake's that idea, or we'll have to adapt. And so today we're going to take day one and day two, and not to worry. I won't go on for too long. But I would like to ask each of you to help and to read a paragraph, starting here with your Bris name is...
Choco.
Choco.
Yeah.
Thanks, Choco.
Okay. So, day one. From ancient times, communities of the practice of the Buddha's way have had six office holders who, as disciples of the Buddha, guide activities of the community. Amongst these, the Tenzo bears the responsibility of caring for the community's meals. The Zen Monastic Standards states the Tenzo's functions as the one who makes offerings with reverence to the monks.
Since ancient times, this office has been held by realized monks who have the mind of the way, or by senior disciples who have roused the way-seeking mind. This work requires exerting the way. Those entrusted with this work, but who lack in the way-seeking mind, will only cause and endure hardship despite all efforts. The Zen monastic standard states, putting the mind of the way to work, serve carefully varied meals appropriate to each occasion, and thus allow everyone to practice without hindrance.
Do not just leave washing the rice and preparing the vegetables to others, but use your own hands, your own eyes, your own sincerity. Do not fragment your attention, but see what each moment calls for. If you take care of just one thing, then you will be careless of the other. Do not miss the opportunity of offering even a single drop into the ocean of merit, or a grain atop the mountain of the roots of the beneficial activity.
Those of old tell us, for the Tenzo, the mind which finds the way actualizes itself through working the world of cities.
In preparing food, never view it from the perspective of usual mind, or think about them only with your emotions. Taking up a blade of grass, build magnificent temples. Turn the wheel of reality within a grain of dust. If you only have wild grasses with which to make broth, do not disdain them. If you have ingredients for a creamy soup, do not be delighted. Where there is no attachment, there can be no aversion. Do not be careless with poor ingredients, and do not depend on fine ingredients to do your work for you, but work with everything with the same sincerity. If you do not do so, then it is like changing your behavior according to the status of the person you meet. This is not how a student of the way is.
The difficulty is that the present and the past are separated by a gulf as great as between sky and earth, and no one can now be compared to those of ancient times. However, through complete practice of seeing the nature of things, you will be able to find a way. If this isn't clear to you, it is because your thoughts speed about like a wild horse, and your emotions run like a wild monkey in the trees. Let the monkey and horse step back and be seen clearly, and the gap is closed naturally. Doing so is the means whereby we turn things, even while simultaneously we are being turned by them. Clarify and harmonize your life without losing the single eye which sees the context, or the two eyes which recognize the details.
Thank you. When listening to you read it, I am reminded again what a rich text it is. I'm going to tell you some about Dogen first. Dogen is a Soto monk, of course. He's one of the giants of Japanese Zen. Sometimes I've read paired with Ryokan and Hakuin as the three greatest luminaries. Kind of coincidentally, last spring, I gave a series on Ryokan. We studied him. And the spring before that, Hakuin. So that's just... I guess that's maybe natural because those three are really very well known, very different energies. Very different energies. Dogen, really known for his philosophical works, his kind of brilliant, sharp mind. I love him in this text because it's such a down-to-earth Dogen, giving us practical advice. But pairing it with philosophy. Dogen was born in 1200. He was the illegitimate son of a nobleman and found himself at Mount Hiei at a young age, joined the monastery there, Tendai. And he was kind of obsessed with this question early on. It comes up in his writing later as well. If we're born with Buddha nature, why do we try so hard to get it? After a little while, he got disillusioned with the politics of Mount Hiei. It was one of those things, you know, where social status actually meant a lot, and he wasn't going to progress because he was he didn't have the right birth. He was illegitimate, and he didn't like that whole, the smell of that anyway. So he left and found a Rinzai monastery. Isai famously introduced Rinzai Zen to Japan. And Dogen studied with Isai's disciple, Myo Zen. So he was right on the heels of Isai. And his first study was Rinzai. He loved Myo Zen. But after a very few years of practice, they traveled to China together, Myo Zen and Dogen. This was no small feat in those days. It was a dangerous crossing and a dangerous proposition altogether. So they were really, you know, not knowing if they would come back even. But they wanted to find what the true Zen was like. So Zen itself was very new to Japan at this time, you see. So they went back to China to find the roots of it. He studied with Rinzai masters over there, but ended up not taking to it. He found that the koan practice at that time was rote, he felt.
it was just, you know, teacher asks a question, you give the answer. It didn't have enough heart for him, enough real sincerity, you might say. So he left and found, at some point in here, his teacher, Myozen, dies in China. But he finds a Soto master, Ru Jing, and there has his great awakening with him. After 5 years in China, he goes back to Japan and sets up this great monastery. It eventually goes from one place to another and then sets up this great, very famous, still existing monastery, Eiji. And as I said, he's really famous for his philosophical works. But he does pair it with the practical, with practical texts like this one. And I particularly like this text because of its mix of philosophy and the physical practice, physicality practice. So, the instructions to the Tenzo. You and I will, you know, our practice this week will be mostly doing zazen. We have a rotating cast of tenzos this time, so lots of people are going to get a chance at this tenzo practice. Steve Roach is cooking lunch. Steve isn't here yet, so he's going to be he'll be thrown right into tenzo practice as soon as he gets here. Our practice is doing zazen to the best of our ability. A tenzo's life is really a life that's informed by zazen, action that's informed by zazen. And enlivened by it. How do we make motion our practice? And we'll get a taste of that too when we do our work practice, you know, every day. I really would like you to, I would like to ask you to concentrate on that this week, making motion your practice, whether it's doing kinhin, whether it's working, whether it's on your break. How do I do things? How do I take care of various, take care of business? How do I go to the bathroom and practice? And how do I give myself to whatever my activity is? This word sincerity comes up more than once in Dogen's text. How do I earnestly give myself to whatever's in front of me? So the text here says, the practice of the Buddha's way, there are six office holders who, as disciples of Buddha, guide the activities of the community. Well, you know, we have five officer positions at this center, so not so far off that. Jigijitsu, Shoji, Densu, Makugyo, Tenzo. And we go through those positions. I ask people who come to the Zen Center to do all of them, to rotate through every 6 months. And the preceptors who just took the precepts, that's a prerequisite of doing that, is to go through each of those, because each of them has a different character. Each of them has a different feeling. Each of them generates a different kind of heart in you. And it expresses a different aspect of you, which you have. You and I have all kinds of different aspects. We think of ourselves as just one, but we're all sorts of things. And so when we're jigijitsu, we get to practice being clear and sharp. And when we're shoji, we get to practice being rounder and more compassionate, taking care of everybody, manifesting compassion. Jiu-jitsu manifests wisdom. Tenzo manifests giving, the heart of giving yourself to your activity and giving your love to the community. It says here, you know, it's done by senior monks who have, senior disciples who've roused the way-seeking mind. Yeah, well, at Mount Baldy it was not that way. It was my very first job was Tenzo after becoming a monk. You know, what did I want to do? I wanted to sit, of course. And of course I did not get that job. I just got tossed into the kitchen and I was told, yeah, no, I know you've read that, that that's supposed to be the last job in some places, but here it's your first job. And for me, what that did was give me the sense that, you know, as you can only get really through your body, that this monastic practice, this taking on of vows, is about service, is about giving, is about, serving the community. So, way-seeking mind. So, you know, if you, this work requires exerting the way. And if you don't have a way-seeking mind, you're just going to cause and endure hardship by doing this job. That is to say, with the Tenzo's job, do it as practice. Otherwise, it's just going to be, you know, hardship, a bummer. This is true of so many things, actually, I think, in life. To, if we can, if we have, if we, oh, this takes time, but if we generate a kind of way-seeking mind, what Bo Dolan calls a way-seeking mind, that changes the way, subtly, we approach our lives. So things like difficulty is not a difficulty or a hardship is part of the game, becomes part of our path. It's not just an obstacle in the way to our goal in life. Because our goal in life is to grow up, is to become whole in some way. And difficulty is part of that. It has to be. It cannot not be. If it's not, I mean, if it's not difficult, we are not going to get, we're not going to progress. So it's weird that way. But a way-seeking mind gives us that kind of perspective that allows us to view difficulty, really. View hardship. You know, it's day one. You're going to feel some. How do you approach it? Is it with your normal, usual mind? Of complaining? Just reminds me, just now, Leonard Cohen in his last interview said, boot camp. No, he said Zen practice is on its kind of bit most base level. Like, does this serve the same function as boot camp, which is to say, which is to teach you that whining teaches you not to whine, and that whining is the least appropriate response to suffering. That's a way-seeking mind. So keep that way-seeking mind today, especially. Says the Tenzo has to keep it. You know, it's the kind of mind that accepts everything in some way. And, you know, as we do our work to settle and get quiet, our job is going to be to work with, not dispel, but work with and work through all kinds of energies. And thereby get stronger and stronger and deeper and deeper. So the Tenzo, what does it say? The Tenzo works hard to Is that Steve knocking around in there? Mm-hmm. Hey, Steve, Tenzo, come out here, please. Yeah, come have a seat. This is all about the Tenzo. You have to listen. And then if the lunch is a little late, then it's a little late. Yeah. Welcome.
Am I sitting there?
So, the Tenzo's work has difficulty within it, and it's but a way-seeking mind knows that the journey is what is really important. Of course, you have to work. The Tenzo's going to work toward making good meals, appropriate meals. Work very hard toward that. But when one comes to a difficulty, one knows that that is also part of my practice. And that's the big practice that I'm doing. It's not just getting the meals out. It's also embracing that which comes, the difficulty that comes, the trouble that comes. So, and Dogen says in this text, you don't have time to read it now, but just take my word for it. Dogen says in the text, and this is also throughout the text, the longer text, because this is just an excerpt, of course. Don't leave the washing to somebody else and preparing of vegetables. Don't just be a boss. Get in there and get your hands dirty and commit to this job with your body. He's seen too many of the Japanese Tenzos that, because he complains in a different part that's not in here, about the Japanese Tenzos who just relax have somebody, have the lowly ones do the work. He loves the Chinese Tenzos that he meets who are in there. They're in the kitchen with their people. And so that's the kind of commitment that he wants to see from people. That's true of Zen too. You know, for all of us. Like, we've got to commit with our body. We have to show up at a retreat. We have to show up on the cushion. We have to do this thing, not just read about it. Not just outsource it to somebody else. We have to go through that trouble. It's unfortunate. Really, it's unfortunate. I wish there was some other way to do it. And it kind of cuts against the grain in a certain way because things are just easier and easier and easier. I mean, that's the way modern life works. It just sort of, let's make it easier and more convenient for all of us. This is an inconvenient thing. This is an inconvenient truth, doing Zen. So he says, get in there and use your body. Now I want to get to this part, which is really moving and true for me, and I don't read it that many other places. In preparing food, never view it from the perspective of your usual mind. Or think about it only with your emotions. Take up a blade of grass and build a magnificent temple. And if you only have wild grasses, don't disdain them. And don't think, oh, great, I got creamy ingredients today. Really, this is practice to learn to approach both whatever comes and use it to the best of our ability. Help it to become its best self. The wild grass. Use, and so that the joy comes not from, oh, look at that, I made a great fancy soup, but look what I got out of this. Look what I made out of this situation that I had. And it might not look all that great to everybody, but you know you did the best with that which you had. That's real practice. And it so it's not so much about, you know, better or worse. It's about the kind of, again, the sincerity that you put into it. And this is a key part of here. Do not be careless with poor ingredients and don't depend on fine ingredients to do your work for you. But work with everything with the same sincerity. Approach everything with the same sincerity.
This podcast has been brought to you by the Puget Sound Zen Center. Thanks so much for listening. To learn more about our community, you can visit our website at pszc.org.